case, but I also I wouldn't say that Bob discovered me. It's, I guess it's partially true, but Flea was the first person who I came into contact with in that world, and he told Bob about me. So I guess that would mean that Flea actually discovered me. But you know, although he discovered me, I guess he didn't like me well enough to ask me to be in the Chili Peppers until Bob asked me to be in Thelonious Monster. So I'm definitely indebted to Bob. I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm indebted, but me being in the band had a lot to do with him. But if anything, he owes me for other things. And I'm not really sure what, you know, I'm sure he's happy that Josh and I are friends. You know, I really don't know. What are some of the things that you and the Peppers tease each other about, or funny things that you guys joke about? We definitely don't tease each other anymore. That was something, more years ago. But there's always lots of funny things, but they all just come up in the spirit of a moment or in the spirit of a long conversation, and I guess I can't really think of any running jokes, or if there are, I don't think they would seem funny if I told you about them. But, I have not written any music with Vincent Gallo, but we will improvise some music together in England on April 3rd. This question is, what RHCP track are you most proud of? Seems like I like the B-sides a lot. I like the song Rivers of Avalon a lot, and I like the song Eskimo a lot, and off the Californication album, I really love the song This Velvet Glove. I also really like the B-side from the Scar Tissue single, instrumental number one, Gong Li off the same single. That I hope someday we do a B-sides record, because I'm really, in a lot of ways, I'm more proud of our B-sides than I am of our album tracks. What do you think of Santa Monica? Santa Monica is where I first lived when I moved to California, so I love it there. I especially loved it at that time. I love the way the air feels down there, and I love being at the beach. I've actually been meaning to go there more often to run on the beach, because when we finished the By the Way tour, I stayed at a hotel in Santa Monica for a few days and ran on the beach, and I loved it so much, but I just, it's kind of a whole day, you know, going down there and stuff, and by the time you get back, it's so late in the day, but I love it there. When I was a little kid, it was a lot more dirty and kind of, it wasn't as ritzy as it is now, but it was a great place to be a little kid, because I had, you know, all the role models who were like skateboarders and surfers and stuff. So I think I developed pretty important parts of my personality just because being around those kind of people, and it was a good neighborhood for kids too. I lived at Euclid and Ocean Park Boulevard right on the corner in an apartment, and there was like about 10 little kids who lived within one block, and we would all, you know, get out there with our skateboards every day and skateboard downhills and stuff, and it was just a great place to be a little kid. This person asks how my dipping into technical chord and harmony structures lately affects my songwriting process. Is it more formulated, or does it rely mostly on jamming and improv? My songwriting process doesn't really rely on jamming or improvisation at all, at least not on Shadows Collide with People. It does with the Chili Peppers, and it actually has in other situations, but not on this album. I guess for a while I was really getting into figuring out ways of using more intervals in chords and things like that, and this comes through in a lot of the music on By the Way and on Shadows Collide with People. Lately, it seems like I've been again going back to trying to get more, just trying to get more out of using, you know, pretty simple chords or using unusual chords, you know, with sort of finesse, with just kind of using just one or two during a song. I've been just trying to get back into just creating melodies that have depth and music that has a sort of a simplicity to it. That was just, you know, using big chords and trying to get richness out of harmony like that was just what I was into at that time a couple of years ago. And it was a really good experience for me, and I recommend it. It seems like a lot of songwriters really have, a lot of the time songs come from simply just trying to figure out a way to use a chord that you've never used before or that you just found out about. And that's definitely where a lot of the music on those two records came from. This person asks why at the Performance 3 show, what caused me to walk off stage early. I didn't walk off stage that early. It was just that something seemed to be wrong with the synthesizer, and it turned out, I looked at it afterwards, and nothing was wrong with it, but the knobs were just set in kind of a funny place, and I didn't have the sense to be able, or the relaxation of mind, to see clearly what was taking place, and it was just a matter of turning one knob, but at the moment of it happening, I couldn't see it. And so I was just angry because that, I thought of that as being kind of the emotional peak of that particular song, was this big, noisy synthesizer solo at the end. And when my synthesizer seemed to be making this big, deep farting noise. And so I felt kind of like I couldn't do anything. So I walked off stage. But I had been really nervous throughout that show. Anyways, so I think it just all kind of culminated at that moment. But, you know, I think the main thing I felt bad about was just walking off stage and not saying thank you and stuff. But I tried to give back some good feelings the next night. And the next night ended up being a really, for me, just a real nice feeling show from beginning to end. Despite a couple of mishaps and technical problems in the second show, but I didn't let them bother me the second time. And in general, both, and looking back on it, I question, was the second show better because of that, or was the first one actually better, even though I was in a more nervous, you know, state of mind. I think it's possible that the first one was better. I saw a little videotape clip of just a second of it, and it seemed much better than it felt to me on stage. So sometimes that nervousness, as unpleasant as it feels when you're going through it, sometimes it pushes you to do better. So, but yeah, you know, it certainly had nothing to do with the audience or anything like that. I just walked off stage because I was nervous. But not to be forgotten that it was the end of the show anyways. All that was left to do was that synthesizer solo, and it didn't seem like the synthesizer was working, so that was that. This person asks, they're happy that I've turned them on to Captain Beefheart and Mars Volta and King Crimson. So, they ask if I have any recommendations I want to make, for anyone new I've just discovered or I'm getting into. Well, As far as things I'd recommend to people, I can only say things that I think are really great, and I can't really completely recommend something because I don't know what a person's particular taste is or things like that. But some things that come to mind are some of the krautrock from Germany in the early 70s. Kraftwerk's first few albums, their first three albums, Neu, N-E-U, exclamation point. Michael Rother's solo albums, M-I-C-H-A-I-L-R-O-T-H-E-R. There's a guy I like a lot called Francisco Lopez, who's an electronic experimental person. Eckhard Ehlers, E-H-L-E-R-S, which when you ask about in later question is, do I have any B-sides that are some of my favorites? And I like the one of us, it's called Tuesday Night in Berlin, with Eckhard Ehlers playing with us. He's playing his computer, and to me it was a really great live moment. I'm also really into the progressive rock group called Van de Graaff Generator, and Robert Fripp from King Crimson plays a little guitar on a couple of their records. I've been really excited about them lately. There's also a group called Harmonia, and if you've never heard early Genesis when Peter Gabriel was the singer, if you like King Crimson, the same period of my life when I was 14 years old that I was obsessed with King Crimson, I was also obsessed with Genesis, the albums like Nursery Crime and Lamb Lies Down on Broadway and Foxtrot, and the guys in the Mars Volta are also really into that stuff, and they got into it through me when I met them. They hadn't heard it yet, and if you've never heard the Yes albums, Close to the Edge and Fragile, those are also really good progressive albums. And also, I've been mentioning it a lot lately, but if you haven't heard me mention it, there's a guy named PITA, P-I-T-A. But, so no, Hillel never owned the Sunburst Strat that I used to have, but he did have a 71 Strat, so that's probably why you thought his looked similar. This person wants to know what my favorite ice cream flavor is. I don't eat ice cream anymore. I stopped eating it recently because the way I eat now is different. But I won't get into that. Back when I did eat ice cream, I guess some of the ice creams that stick out, like when I was a little kid, I really liked pralines and cream, at 31 flavors. And I always occasionally liked to have, like pink bubblegum ice cream or something. And I also liked chocolate and peanut butter a great deal. I guess when I was a kid, it was 31 flavors that I thought was the really good ice cream. In recent, I guess, you know, a couple of years ago, if you would have asked me, my favorite thing to do was to take either vanilla frozen yogurt or vanilla Rice Dream ice cream and put, and take some carob chips and put them on a pan and heat them up, and then put the heated carob, like syrup is what it kind of becomes, on top of the ice cream and eat it before the carob gets too hard. And that was really good. I liked that a lot. And I also liked the Rice Dream carob mint, what was it? Mint carob chip, I think is what it was called. But I stopped eating ice cream recently because, the only things that I eat I don't eat anything that's made by anybody. I only eat things that are, that are natural, like things like vegetables or meat or fish or eggs. Like I don't eat anything that has ingredients, really. So that's why I don't eat ice cream. And the only sweet thing, the only form of sugar that I eat is honey. And I don't eat any type of sweet anything. So that's the answer. But ice cream has definitely brought a lot of happiness into my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. God, this person asks, is there any chance of lyrics from The Sounds Inside being published on the website? But I don't know what From The Sounds Inside is. I'm very confused. So I don't know if that person could let me know, or maybe I'll figure out what you're talking about. I'll ask Josh. Maybe Josh sometimes has a better head for these things, figuring things out than I do. But, this person's also wondering what movies or artists I'm into at the moment, if any. Well, I just saw an incredible show of Cy Twombly when I was in Paris, and that was really good. But I really haven't been spending much time looking at art books or going to museums, really. I guess I have a book of Diane Arbus photographs that I was looking at a lot about a month ago, and I saw a show of hers in New York, and that was really good. But for me lately, it's been mostly just listening to records over and over. I haven't been watching movies lately at all. I went through a period where I was watching movies every day, and I'm kind of relieved to not be going through a period like that anymore, because there's just, to me at the moment, there's just nothing better than just sitting here in my living room and listening to records and staring out the window. It's really like TV or movies. They just kind of make me antsy, or I don't know. They feel like, I'm glad, I think it's healthy that I'm going through a period like this, because I've been watching movies every day I've been watching movies every day for like years, and I'm sure I'll go through a period again where I'm watching them all the time, but right now it feels good to just listen to music. So, but the last movies that I was really excited about were Godard movies and Fassbender movies, and Bergman movies as well. Ingmar Bergman. Those movies were the movies that were really exciting me a few months ago, right before I stopped watching movies. This person from Freeport, Long Island, they're explaining what they see in me when I'm playing guitar, and the question isn't really clear. I guess they say, I've always felt this translucent energy emit when you play, and it's essentially overwhelming. Have you ever experienced this sort of sensation in any particular performance? They're asking, what is it that I feel when I play? It's hard to say. I think subconscious thought is really the thing that's most responsible for the expressions on my face and the way that I feel. All I'm thinking about is just the music and trying to just do something new with the music. And, I've definitely found that playing music really doesn't get anywhere unless a person is really lost inside of it emotionally, And for that, I think I play music with the same part of myself that I listen to records with when I'm sitting here at home. It's just the part of me that really gets excited about music and always has since I was a little kid, and that's the same part of me that propels me playing guitar on stage. I think the things that make one feel so intense about music are things that one isn't conscious of, and I think that's the way it should be, There was a time when I started to become conscious of these things that work for us as our subconscious, and all that really did was make me really take a much more technical view towards what I was doing. It made me start to be consciously sort of trying to play these games with light and dark, soft and hard, big and little, all these sort of combinations of things that do get us excited when we hear them in music, you know, a verse being soft, for instance, and a chorus being loud or something like that. But you can't write songs or play guitar from any kind of a formula like that. You've got to just play from a feeling from your heart. And, you know, it can be interesting for a while, but in the end, trying to be too conscious of what it is that makes a piece of music great ends up just draining you of any desire to do it at all. So I try to just let, you know, to close my eyes and just let the darkness sort of guide me, you know, and I find that, you know, the less conscious thought that's put into anything is the better. If I am thinking of things consciously, it's just using my own knowledge of music to sort of to create dimension and to create space and things like that. But the thing that propels the music to develop in intensity is all things that I don't understand, and I'm glad that I don't understand them. Okay, well, the music that we've heard on your solo albums, is there a favorite track? I don't know, I like those last couple of songs on Usually Just a T-Shirt a lot. And I like the instrumental tracks on the new record a lot. And I guess I like Omission a lot because it was just something that Josh and I did together, and it was just a nice moment between friends. I like the song So Would Have I from the Internet album, which is also a B-side for the Going Inside single. Now, this question I don't understand. Is Lou Bergs, the writer Lou Bergs, or rather a being you've met somewhere? I don't know who Lou Bergs is. I don't know where you got that name. So, sorry about that. Do you think music is the key to the universe, or at least that as humans it's the only way we can understand it?